On the Ascanius would have been many young men from the Great Southern, including the new town, as it was then, of Nibbing. Today on 38 Ships, we're going to talk through the contribution that this small new settlement of Nibbing made to the effort of Australia in World War One. It's my pleasure to introduce Alison Cooper from the Nibbing Historical Society, who knows much of the history of the men who served in World War One from her area. Good morning to you, Alison.
Good morning.
How many men went to war in World War One from Nibbing?
Well, from Nibbing and Pingrup District, we had 77 registered on the Nibbing Honour Roll, and there was 23 actually registered on the Pingrup Honour Roll as well.
Now, I'm guessing, from what I know, Nibbing was a relatively new settlement at the time. It had sort of only been formally gazetted as a town the year before in 1913. So the population would have been thin, to say the least.
Yes.
What proportion of this new town was this 77 men that served in World War One?
Just thinking about it, probably about half, I would say half the male population at least. Because these were all blokes from 18 to 30 age range, and also a lot of these blokes came out on conditional purchase blocks. So they all signed up and went to war and they left their blocks there. So a lot of them never actually came back to take up this farming land in our districts, yeah.
So the impact on the town then, or the town as it was trying to become, because it was so new, must have been significant to have that loss of manpower.
Huge, absolutely huge. And there were some stories, like the Coffs, for example, they sent away three of their four sons and not one of them came back. Mm. So it was quite, you know, that takes a lot out of a family, let alone a district that was so close and, like ours, basically.
And it takes, not only would it have taken back then, given that farming was relatively low-tech and relied so much on physical sweat and toil, it would have taken a practical chunk out of farming efforts. But the emotional toll, people's willingness to keep going, must have really taken a hit.
Absolutely. And having Nibbing and Pingrup were both so isolated still, it was still a day's travel into Katanning. And so the train hadn't actually came out to town. So if you're coming from Pingrup into Nibbing, you know, that was a good day's chunk out of your time. And then to go on to Katanning to actually get any information through, or to get the papers and stuff, that was another day. So it was quite a big emotional toll. It was the isolation. It was the mum sending their sons off to the home front as well, like, and not finding out if they were a POW for 2 or 3 years or if they were missing in action, or, you know, how do you keep your hopes up during that time? I don't know how they did it, actually.
And, of course, telecommunications back then, not what they are today.
Certainly, certainly not. I mean, as much as you'd like to receive a telegram, it's just not something that could happen out here often enough.
I'm speaking with Alison Cooper, who's a very key part of the efforts in the town of Nibbing to keep the history of the town alive, particularly the history relating to the men that served in World War One. Alison, can you tell me about one of these fallen fellows from your town, Alf Gaby, bit of a war hero, I understand?
He was an amazing... He came out to Nibbing from Tasmania. His parents were living in Tasmania, but his brother had come out and married a local Wagyan girl. They had a farm called Quarlimming, and they came out in 1911. Charles and Alf came out to be with Ernie, his brother, in about 1912, 1913. They worked on farms around the Chinnacup area and through to the Boongadoo range as well. Now, they came out, they enlisted, both the brothers enlisted, Alf and Charles, as far as I'm aware. But Alf was amazing because he actually won a VC. Now, his VC is in the museum in Tasmania because that was his next of kin, his father was registered as, and so they have his original VC medal. But we've actually had a replica made up and we honour him that way in our local RSL hall. So, yeah, he came to Nibbing in 1912... worked on farms, they signed up, went across to the war, and I'll just read out his citation, if you like.
Yes, please. It'd be lovely to hear what he did to earn a VC, because a VC doesn't happen every day.
Yes, certainly. Now, this was in the London Gazette on the 8th of August in 1918. For the most conspicuous bravery and dash, when on reaching the wire in front of an enemy trench, strong opposition was encountered. The advance was at once checked, the enemy being in force about 40 yards beyond the wire and commanding the gap with machine guns and rifles. Lieutenant Gaby found another gap in the wire and single-handed approached the strong point while machine guns and rifles were still being fired upon it. Running along the parapet, still alone and at point-blank range, he emptied his revolver into the garrison, drove the crews from their guns and compelled the surrender of 50 of the enemy with four machine guns. He then quickly reorganised his men and led them onto his final objective, which he captured and consolidated. 3 days later, during an attack, this officer again led his company with great dash to the objective. The enemy brought heavy rifle and machine gun fire to bear upon the line, but in the face of this heavy fire, Lieutenant Gaby walked along his line of posts, encouraging his men to quickly consolidate. While engaged on this duty, he was killed by an enemy sniper.
Just an amazing story, and his bravery and care for his fellow men obviously were his downfall, and he never learnt of his recognition through a Victoria Cross.
No, it was 3 days after he was killed that it actually came back through to the 28th Battalion that he'd actually won it, yes.
Do you know how old Lieutenant Alf Gaby was at the time he showed such tremendous bravery, Alison?
Top of my head, he was about 23 or 24, very, very young man.
It's just hard to get your head around, really, isn't it?
It is. I don't think I would have even been mature enough to do what these boys did. So, yes.
Incredible stories, really. And it is these stories that you and your colleagues within the Historical Society are so keen to keep alive. Can I play you something? We had the delight of hosting some of the children from the Nyvang Primary School recently come in, and Andrew Collins spoke with them.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Charlotte Edwards, and I'm from Nyvang Primary School.
What was the feeling for you reading the names of those soldiers that didn't make it home?
Well, it sounds pretty sad that they didn't come home to their families because they have like a whole life where they're from and they just went to the war and risked their life for this country.
Do you have war history through your family?
Yes, my great-great-grandfather, he went to the war and got very sick and died.
In Albany in November this year, there's 100 years commemorative events for the departure of the first Anzac fleet. Are you coming?
Yes, I think we might be.
How much do you know about what we're commemorating? What's the story in your eyes?
That everyone who came for the war, all the ships and that came to Albany, and that's how they went to the war.
Hello, my name is Jessica Dolan, and I'm from Nyvang Primary School.
What have you learned about World War One and the Anzacs?
Well, at school we've been reading a novel, Gallipoli, and the Maestro and the Story one, and we've learnt that it wasn't as when they first wanted to sign up, everyone got quite a shock on what it was actually like. They didn't realise, they thought it'd be lots of fun, but then they realised it was really terrible and it was pretty much torture.
And it's 100 years to the day that the Anzac legend was born when they landed at Gallipoli. That's in April next year. Do you stop and reflect?
Yeah, well, yes, I probably will.
And what goes through your mind?
Well, I just think about all the soldiers that have fallen, and I've had some family members that went up there and fought, so I think about them and everyone else.
And what do you know of their stories?
Not much. I know that my great-uncle that went up there, he fought in the war and came back, but he got really sick and then died soon, not long after the war.
Hello, I'm Campbell Jolly and I'm from Nyvang Primary School.
Do you have Anzacs in your family or any war connections?
Yeah, I think my father said that my great-grandpop and my great-great-grandpop went to war and they did come back, but I think that they got sick and died.
Hi, I'm Amy Freeman and I'm from Nyvang Primary School.
Have you got war history through your family?
Yes, my great-grandma worked as a nurse at one of the Red Cross stations.
And do you know much about her time there? Have you been told stories?
No, I don't really know much about it.
Would you like to know more?
Yes, I would. Because I'd like to know what it was like for her. Like to find out what it was like at the war and see what it was like for the people there.
And what have you learnt at school about what it was like? What do you think it was like?
Well, it's we've been reading a book about Gallipoli in the first landing in 1914. And it sounds like really bad conditions and you don't really know what's going to happen. And it's just really bad.
Are you coming to Albany later this year for the centenary?
Yes, I think so.
And why?
To remember all of the soldiers that went away to war to protect the country.
I'm just wiping the tears away from my eye, Alice, and it's so precious hearing kids talking with that level of awareness and interest in the history of something that happened decades ago. What does that do for you as a member of the Nibbing Historical Society?
I am just absolutely proud and so impressed that these kids have picked up the knowledge from their family and they're actually acknowledging their family history. And because these kids are going to be carrying this baton of Anzac legend for us, for the next generations, and to acknowledge the uncertainty of war and the tragedy of war and what it is, it's not just absolutely brilliant. It gives you a really nice feeling in the heart knowing that it's going to get passed on to the next generations.
Lovely stuff. Alison Cooper from the Nibbing Historical Society. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Donna.
If your interest in the story of Nibbing through the wars has been piqued by this little story today, you're in luck. And also, too, if you have connections with Nibbing and would like to find out more, Alison Cooper has a number of copies of the Nibbing Centenary books. These are chock-a-block full of family histories from the Nibbing town and area. If you would like to get hold of one of those books, you can contact Alison Cooper directly, 9823 5136, 9823 5136.